Can someone finish this passage for me? If the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? It is a wonderful grace to be worshiping with you tonight. If you'll take your copy of the scriptures, please turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Your senior pastor has begun preaching through 1 Peter, but I'm quite sure by the time that he gets to this passage, you'll need it again anyway. So don't worry about that. 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. It's a rocky life. It's an unsteady life. It is a tumultuous life. And as Americans, of course, even more than ever before, from a societal standpoint. But from the Scriptures, I want to preach to you, Jesus Christ, your chief cornerstone. So Peter quotes Isaiah 28 here, and I want to read that passage, and then we'll dig into the meat of this wonderful teaching. Isaiah chapter 28. Verse 14 through 17. Isaiah is responding to those who have essentially rejected God as their leader, if not in word, definitely in spirit and in deed, and probably even in word. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, We have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. Peter is preaching to this people, and to you this morning, the church of God, the people of God. And he is reminding the people, and I remind you from the scriptures this morning, that your foundation is none other than a foundation that God himself has designed and laid and established. There seemed to be a very unstable time at this time for Israel in Isaiah. It looked like the future was in doubt. It looked like the promises of God might be in doubt. Experiencing going back and forth between obedience or faithfulness and unfaithfulness to God. Bondage and liberty under in and out of their enemies. And God said in this passage, He said, you have not concocted a better wisdom than my wisdom. And I'm going to undercut your wisdom, as it were. And I'm going to lay a foundation that will be suitable for my kingdom. And my kingdom, as is progressively shown through the Scripture and in the New Testament, it just explodes. My kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and it's a kingdom that will not be destroyed. It's a kingdom that has a king that will rule forever over all. And so my foundation is going to be a foundation that is tried, that is sure, that will withstand all and every obstacle, and it will completely secure the structure, the soundness of this house, this kingdom that I'm going to build on top of it. And it is only this foundation that is suitable for this role. So Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. In this immediate context of 1 Peter, the immediate context is talking about the church, the family of God, even the bride of Christ. And at the end of time, it's all going to be one, manifestly so. So the people of God have natural tendencies. Let's personalize it. We have natural inclinations to move away from the foundation of God and to establish our own foundation, our own basis of security, our own basis of confidence and strength for the future or for the things, for the way that we would like things to be. So we need this reminder tonight. First of all, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, and only Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Why is this so? He's the chief cornerstone because He's the only one that, in fact, did, that we're talking in principle here, He's the only one that could and would be able to secure eternal, everlasting peace and fellowship with God for you. That's what being in God's kingdom looks like. It's eternal security, but it's a life. It's a flourishing life in a secure kingdom. It's a flourishing life of relationship with your Lord and Savior and your God. And this is only happening. This is only happening, in fact, he says in verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy, especially alluding to the Gentiles, who never had the revelation, the safety of God, until the new covenant was manifested. And so you were at enmity with Him, and now Jesus Christ has secured the basis by which you will have, you will enjoy forever this fellowship and this close, intimate relationship with God through His saving grace. He is the only foundation for this kingdom because He's the only one who could resolve the enmity. And why is He the only one who can resolve the enmity? Because He is the Son of God. He is spotless. He is perfectly righteous. And He is full of truth and grace, both at the same time. And that truth and that grace is poured out on you, His people. And so the righteousness of God, which you can't even get close to, You can't even approach God because He's holy. And we're contaminated with sin. We're full of sin. You can't even approach Him. But He has brought the righteousness of God. And He has brought the mercy of God. The mercy of God is that He would even be moving in your direction in a compassionate way. He's brought the mercy and the righteousness of God in one, in Himself. And He has delivered and secured this salvation from your otherwise sure separation from God forever. Mankind has forever, as long as they've been around, been trying to establish and secure our own peace and our own safety, our own righteousness in some form or another, whether it's among each other or among the God, whoever the God is of the culture. Always seeking that out. But there's only one that is a sure foundation for this truth, and that is the God-man, the Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth. So He lives, and then He's crucified because He's been rejected. We're going to get to that in a second. And He's crucified, bearing your sins that are keeping you from God. Bearing your sins. And then paying the sin debt against your eternal God. And paying it so fully and satisfactorily that He actually gets to the end of the payment and then lives again. See, if you try to pay for your sin, you'll just do it for eternity. Because it's for eternity. If you pay for your sin. But your Savior, Jesus Christ, has taken your sin and He's paid the debt due to the eternal God, and He's paid it in full because the character of His payment is eternal. It is of God. It is divine. And so He's paid it in full. And then one passage says, and you can give me the reference, that He could not stay in the grave because He had paid it in full. And so He had to come up. He had to live because He was once more, as it were, counted righteousness. And my friends, if you are to live with God forever in peace and harmony and full and perfect fellowship, it will be only because the sure foundation which God has laid in Zion, the chief cornerstone, has resolved that issue, and it could not be anyone else. And so in verse 5 in 1 Peter 2, he says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." So we have the sure foundation, the chief cornerstone, and then we have you who are living stones also. And those living stones are built up into a form, into something, a house. But it's a spiritual house because this is an everlasting kingdom, not made with hands. And in that spiritual house, and the character of that spiritual house is one of worship. But it's not made of brick and mortar. It's made of you. And so now the spiritual house is built up of lively stones that is coming out from the chief cornerstone. It is offering up what holy priests do. It's offering up sacrifices. But they're spiritual sacrifices. And that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing as a people of God, being built upon the chief cornerstone. And these spiritual sacrifices don't just make it up into the air like the smoke. They make it all the way, as it were, to God Himself, and they are acceptable by Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone of this spiritual house, which you are. Now, someone else can take that and make four or five sermons out of it. I'm going to move on to the next point. The church, my friends, is built upon the chief cornerstone. And when it is moving off in its vision, in its purpose, in its principles, when it's moving off of the lines that the chief cornerstone has laid, then it is becoming unsettled. It's becoming unsure. Now, secondly, I want to draw your attention to this. Turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, Jesus Christ ascribes this truth to himself. He tells a parable of a householder. This is beginning in verse 33. There's a householder, and he planted a vineyard, and he hired men to care for the vineyard. And he went off on a trip, and he sent back some messengers to check on how things were going. And the laborers, they were wise guys, and they got rid of the messengers. The messengers never made it back. And this happened multiple times. And then the householder, the owner, he said, well, I'll send my son. He probably even carried his signet or something. I'll send my son. They'll respect my son. And so he did. He sent the son. In verse 38, the husbandmen saw the son, and they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us get out the fatted calf for him. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? And they said unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto the other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read the Scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. These men that Jesus was dialoguing with, the scribes, the Pharisees, these men were the intellectuals. These were the elites of the religion. They weren't atheists. They weren't the worldly guys. These were the elites of the religion. They rejected the stone. They rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected the Messiah. They were like the men in Isaiah, which said, we have a better idea. We'll make our own path. And so Jesus says, like the prophet Nathan said to David, you are the man. You are the man. You are who I am talking about. What does he say? This is truly marvelous. Listen carefully. The stone which the builders rejected. The stone which the builders rejected, the same is made the head of the corner. This is an impossibility. This is an oxymoron. These are against each other. Well, there are many things that can be described that way, except when God works. Because what does God do? He defines the truth. He defines reality. He defines the ability and the truth that your sins were imputed onto Jesus Christ, and He bore the penalty of your guilt on Him. We can't do that. but God did it. God also took a man whom the builders rejected, the intellectuals, the ones that everyone looked up to and followed very carefully and very fearfully so as not to offend or get on their naughty list. The stone that the builders rejected is made the head. So here's lesson one for us today. Extremely relevant, as the whole Word of God is. Extremely relevant. My friends, your head is rejected. He's a rejected man. He is a fool in the world's eyes. And it's always been this way. We don't like to follow the rejected. We don't like to follow the ones who have been belittled by the masses. We want to be liked, right? We want to be comfortable. But get comfortable in the Word of God that the Scriptures teach us that your head is a rejected man. And the Church of Jesus Christ, His people, will always be a rejected people. Now, we learn a lot from Christians of history, but this is coming for us. It's already increasingly rejected and despised. And what does that sound like? That sounds like the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, despised and rejected of men. But this is actually an encouragement. It's an encouragement because you need to be confident in the Scriptures that your head, the chief cornerstone that's the foundation of your whole identity with God, though He is a rejected man of the world, He is accepted with God. And he has won. He is winning. He will win. He is victorious. And you are victorious in Him. You see how easy it is to just go through the next week. This is going to be our temptation the next week. To spend way too much time reading the news and all this stuff. And let our perspective of and our understanding of how we think things are be defined and structured by everybody else's input, everybody else's definition. But God has defined the truth. He has defined what the kingdom and the everlasting kingdom is, and He has defined who you are and what your future is, and where your safety and your peace is, and it's not going to be getting in good and comfortable and not offending the elites. They've hated Jesus Christ first. Of course they're going to hate you. What do you expect? But when we get away from the Word of God, we tend to forget this. So this is important for us to remember. Now, after Matthew 21, let's go all the way back to Matthew 8. Let me give you a case in point. What are some of the big words, the big pursuits, the big ideals today? Justice, being justified, that's a big one. And add whatever word in front of it you want to. But justification, righteousness, or being right, righteousness, the basis of peace, like what you have to be a certain way for us, for there to be peace between us. We can't just have a good old-fashioned disagreement and love each other anymore. Basically, you have to be where I am, or I have to be with you. We let these things seep into us, these ungodly ideas. We can't let that happen. See, the world is running around like a chicken with its head cut off, pursuing a million different definitions of justice, of righteousness, of salvation. What's gonna secure our future, in other words? They're being confounded because their foundation is not Jesus Christ. But as the people of God, as the church of Jesus Christ, who's founded on the way, the truth, the life, who is the person Jesus Christ living today, we have been given a truth. In fact, we have been given for ourselves, it's personally true about us, we have been given the truth of justification. And so we can live peaceably in an unpeaceable world because our foundation of justice and our foundation of righteousness, our foundation of peace is with God. And because that's true, you can live peaceably with the unpeaceable, because you are not seeking out justice from anyone else except for by your foundation, Jesus Christ. And if you lose a sense of that, can you just imagine how much haste you make, as Isaiah said? They make haste, those who reject Jesus Christ. They make haste. They're running around. They're scared. They're always running to and fro, always looking for the next place. It's a life of anxiousness and fear and confusion and misery. And this ought not to describe the people of God. Because we have a sure foundation. We have a cornerstone that has been laid and has set the definition and the line, the truth of justification, of righteousness, of holiness. It's in Jesus Christ. So we truly are the light. No one else sees that until God does a sovereign work. But we are the light of the world because we're built on a foundation which is the true light. Now to Matthew 8. It's actually the end of Matthew 7. I knew this would get me there, though. Jesus preaches the greatest sermon that's ever been spoken on the face of the earth. And then he says, Jesus Christ, we're talking about Jesus Christ, the man. Jesus Christ, he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus has ended all these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes who rejected him. All right. Personal life truth based upon your chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. The chief cornerstone is essential. It is essential. It's essential because of its strength, its durability. It is not going to erode. It is definite. But it's also defining the lines or the blueprint of the building. So if you put the cornerstone here, that means the wall is not going to start here. It's going to start here. And the wall going this direction is going to start here and not start here. It defines the rest of the structure. Jesus Christ says, when you hear my words and you do them, you're like a house that's built upon a chief cornerstone. Now, I know you want a house built upon a chief cornerstone. So your life is a house and you're building it, right? Stone by stone. Every day is a stone. Every decision, I compartmentalize everything. So every compartment of my life is a stone. A stone in husbanding, a stone in pastoring, a stone of family, a stone of work. Maybe that's not the best way to think of it. All these stones that are building up your house, laboring faithfully to build your house in a practical sense. Let me give you a couple of points. God has already laid the chief cornerstone for your life. This means a couple of things for you. One, it means you don't have the pressure of figuring out where the lines go, where the principles are for your life. That's a pressure you can't handle and you're not wise enough to make those decisions. God's already set them for you. He set the blueprint. It's your role to take that daily stone and to sink it up to the cornerstone as well as you can. That's it. Isn't that simple? It's called faithful obedience. You take your stone of decision or of point or of compartment and you line it up to the words of Jesus Christ as well as you can, right on the line. And then you take the next one and you line it up, not to the stone that you just laid. Don't do that. Terrible. Terrible decision. Don't ever line up your next stone to the stone you just laid. Every stone is laid against the line that the cornerstone laid. Every stone. Because you know what happens. You know, Daddy says, go put the bricks out for the path. And that starts going like this, right? But if for every stone, I look back at the cornerstone and saw the line, I have the best chance of keeping it straight. My friends, this is practical and it takes so much pressure off, but this is something that we can do every day. But you have to be hearing the words of Jesus Christ right here. The wisest builder. This is my last point, Brother Lewis. I interviewed an authority on blueprints. And this is a direct quote from this authority. He's just managing the biggest building project in the history of Memphis. So he is qualified to make this point. Quote, the drawings and the specifications are all part of the contract. The builders can't change things like that. So it would be only a fool who took the blueprint of a perfect and wise blueprint maker and said, you know what, I have a better idea. I think this stone should go here, not on this line. It should go up here. He would get fired. Because the maker of your blueprint, the maker of the principles of your life, the one who set this cornerstone for your life is absolutely inerrant and dependable. No mistakes in the principles that he set for your life. And so when the stone laid of faithfulness produces really hard results, it's not because it was laid in the wrong place. You just go to the next stone and you keep laying in faithfulness. So the current circumstances of when you lay your stone of obedience as a living sacrifice, that's not the measure of whether you got it on the line, is what I'm saying. It's easy for us to believe this. and you can't get your life all figured out. That's what I want to do. I want to get all my ducks in a row and figure out this is how everything's going to go. The Lord just destroys that for us really fast and shows us that that's not the way to do it. You just need to lay the stone obediently on the line, and it will please the Lord. My friends, Jesus Christ is your chief cornerstone, and in every possible respect, He is your chief cornerstone. So let us lay our foundation on Him and trust His plan. God bless you.
Amen. Let's stand up and sing a verse of Christ, the solid rock, to the Holy Spirit.